Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, the 30th day of December 2024. And we can see the end of this year just around the corner. We thank you because since the beginning of this year, you have been with us. You are here with us until now. And you'll see us through the end of this year, up until the next year, and through next year as well. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And so let that light shine in our hearts this morning and give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for this consecration time and the grace and the strength you've given us to look upon your face, to gaze upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to take the reading of the scriptures from Psalm 105. We'll stand and read. We'll read the word of the Lord on the fasting day they did in the time of Nehemiah, etc. So let's do the same. Psalm 105, reading from the King James. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember these marvelous works that he had done throughout this year. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant. Ye children of Jacob is chosen, ye family of walking with God. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, and that's a promise, and the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Hallelujah. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and he let him go free. Made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came to Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and increased his people greatly, and made them stronger than their enemies. Hallelujah. He turned their heart to hate this people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sort of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. Smote their vines also and their fig trees and pricked the trees of their coasts. He spake and the locusts came and caterpillars and that without number. And did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And he brought forth his people also with silver and gold. Hoo-hoo! There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give them light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and waters gushed out. They ran in dry places like a river, and he remembered his holy promise. And Abraham, his servant, he brought forth his people with joy, hallelujah, and his chosen with gladness. And he gave them lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. The reading of the word of the Lord on the fasting day. Good morning again. Consecration day 4. The promise, the test, and the blessing. Praise God. There are two stories we will consider in this lesson today. The story of Abraham and the story of Joseph. But first, I want to say that when God gives promise, we've been talking about the promises of God, you know, over the last couple of days, 2 days ago, that we needed to embrace the promise in order to possess. And then yesterday we prayed, you know, many promises and many things for ourselves to defeat all the negative things that the devil will bring on to us, that they won't go with us to the new year. Today, I want to let you know that that promise will be tested. In order for us to really get the blessing. We've talked about embracing the promise. Now we're going to talk about the promise itself being tested. A couple of different ways that I want to talk about today, how that promise will be tested. One, it'll be the devil himself that will challenge God's promises in your life. You know, so it will bring all kinds of contradictions against the word of promise. When God promised something, unbelief, a doubt, fear, you know, and all these things will rise up. We read the story of the children of Israel, the spies that were sent to spy out the land, and how contradictions arose, you know, in the mouth of 10 of the spies to bring fear and discouragement to the rest of the people. So the devil, he will bring contradictions. There's many different ways. It will bring the voice of doubt, the voice of fear, the voice of discouragement, the voice of reason. You say, you can't do that. You know, that's not going to work. Who ever heard of such a thing? And the devil will tell you all those things to, you know, come up against the promise. I call it contradictions against the word of promise. Praise the Lord. You know, but the blessing will come. The real blessing comes when God himself tests you over that promise. The devil will come against the promise, to all kinds of contradictions in your mind from people around you, from situations and all that. If you pass that test and you move on, well, God himself might test that word. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord, we are told, is tried, according to Psalm 18 and verse 30. The word of the Lord is tried. Hallelujah. So God can try that word. He give you the word and he will try it and see. And he can ask you to do different things to check out your faith concerning that word. God will not tempt us, but he will try it. Hallelujah. You know, and especially at your strong points. The devil comes against you in your weakest point. God comes to you at your strongest point. You know, when you say, I will never deny you, even if others deny you. You know, that's what Peter said. The Lord said, well, we'll see about that. You know, so, but when the Lord will test us, he will test us at your strong points, not at your weak point. He doesn't want you to fail, but he wants you to pass the test. And so he will try that word. He will try it. You know, so, according to Psalm 18 verse 30, it says the word of the Lord is tried. And according to this Psalm that we just read in Psalm 105 verse 19, it says that Joseph, all the things that happened to him until the time came that the word of the Lord tried him. So we're going to be talking about that in a bit. But what does this mean, you know, for the Lord to test the promise? He gave the promise. Why did he need to test the promise? Well, it's not the promise that he says, the promise is sure. But he's going to test your, you know, faith. Hallelujah. In the word that he gave you. He's going to test that. You know. And we're going to look at the, you know, these two stories in the Bible of how the Lord tested the promise. You know, in the case of Abraham, you know, Abraham, God gave him, you know the story, we told it multiple times, how the Lord gave him the promise of Isaac. We've been reading about it and talking about it even in the book of Galatians, that we were doing the study of. And that the promise will come through the seed. And it was Isaac that was chosen, not Ishmael, but Isaac. But even before that promise came, it took many years, 25 to be exact. You know, Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord first gave him that promise. And it took 25 years before Sarah would have that child of promise. Now, in the meantime, there were all kinds of contradictions against that word of promise. Contradictions such as, well, we can't do that. I'm getting too old. Go into my maid. Those are contradictions against the word of promise that God already gave. Now, there are many things, you know, that may have happened along the way. Those are contradictions. And people would come to Abraham, especially after he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, and claiming that everybody should no longer call him Abraham, but Abraham, meaning a father of many nations. You can imagine the contradictions that would have come to him from the people. Say, father of nations? You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be father of nations? I mean, look at us. Our children are around about us, you know, and many of them are grown, and we don't even call ourselves father of nations. And you don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be father of nations? Are you going to do more valiantly at once than all of us? Now, the Lord showed me a parable about this one time. And I said, and Abraham said, well, I will be the father of nations. You know, I said, well, you know, we always knew there was something odd about you, but we didn't know that you were foolish. Call yourself father of nations when you don't even have a child. Contradictions come against him in every different way. Even his wife brought one. Said, well, we can't do it. You know, I'm too old. You know, contradictions will come against the promise. So those are all different kinds of tests. The greatest test comes from the Lord himself. And the greatest test came to Abraham when the test this time was the altar. The Lord asked him, you know, after he actually did get the promise child, but there was still a part of the promise to be fulfilled in the child, because he said, in Isaac shall your seed be called, not in Ishmael. And so, you know, if all these blessings that God promised were tied to Isaac, then God told him to go put the Isaac on the altar and kill him. So that would kill the promise right there. You know, so this promise of being a blessing to all the kingdoms, I mean, nations of the world. Well, if it was going to be in Isaac and God's telling you to go kill the child, then that would kill the promise. So there were all kinds of promises that God gave him. Well, there was a promise about the land of Canaan. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the promise, you know, for his, you know, the chosen seed. To be a blessing, you know, all the nations will be blessed in him or through him. You know, so God gave him a challenge and a test. And the test was to go kill this promised child on the altar. Let's look at the promises that God gave, you know, concerning the, you know, what he would later test. Yeah. Now, we read in Psalm 105, how God gave the promise to Abraham and then the oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a law and also Israel, you know, the generations after. And so there are many, many places in the Bible that God gave these promises as we read through their generations. Let's look at some of them in the book of Genesis chapter 17. Now, of course, in Genesis 12, the Lord already told him that he was going to make him great. I called him, told him I will make you great. Then he began to give him some specific promises. For instance, in chapter 17, verse 7, the Lord began to tell him. He told him that, look, as for me, my covenant is with thee. This is verse 4. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham. Mm-hmm. For a father of nations have I made thee, and I'll make thee to be exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed, after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now that's the promise I want to focus on. You know, establish my covenant with thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. And God told him that, you know, this later on, he told him this is the seed that I will choose. And it looked like, you know, God was going to test that promise, kill that seed right there. You know, and what will happen to the seed? Well, you know, God spoke many things to Abraham. In verse 15 of the same chapter, he said, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai anymore, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. You know, and I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her, and so on. So these are the promises. You know, then verse 19, we read again, you know, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall indeed bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. So that's where God called it out point blank. See, that was a promise that was coming through Isaac, called it out point blank. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, this Isaac, this is the promised seed, and this is going to be the spring, you know. All of these covenant forever, everlasting covenant will spring forth from Isaac. But God's going to put that thing to a test. Now, that was the promise, okay, to Abraham concerning Isaac. You know, what about Genesis chapter 18? Let's read verses 10 and 14 quickly, and we'll see what the Lord said. He said, you know, after this will I certainly return, you know, unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And this was the promise. Of course, Sarah heard it and she laughed. She thought it couldn't happen. You know, but the Lord said, well, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. God said, you did laugh. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. According to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. Now, we're talking about Isaac now. You know, so now, this Isaac is the key or the cornerstone or the center of this promise. Genesis 21, verses 1 to 3. I'm trying to link this promise that we are looking at to see how the promise was so important and how that God would test that promise. Genesis 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, which Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. That's right. So that's the story of Isaac. Now, where is the test? And how did the test come? In Genesis chapter 22, here comes the test. Now, this is not contradictions anymore from the devil or people around you or this or even your own mind or so, you know, and so forth, thinking it won't be. This is God himself now putting that promise to a test. And this is the ultimate test, actually. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, I am here. The Lord said, take now thy son, thy only son. Now you can see now that God has streamlined everything. At this time, he had two sons, but God is pinpointing Isaac as his only son. Because that's the one that God is focused on. He already had Ishmael. God will bless Ishmael. But Ishmael, you know, go on his way. You know, this is the line of promise. And this is the one that God focused on. You know, take Isaac, thine only son, whom thou lovest, you know, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Now, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, this was the promised child. It took him 25 years to get that promise. And God put all kinds of promises. All these words that God spoke him from morning till night, day after day, telling him all these things about Isaac. Now the Lord is going to tell him to go, you know, sacrifice the same Isaac. Now, what would you do if this was you? Would you even believe that that was the voice of the Lord? You know, I mean, most of us this day, myself included, would probably stand there and rebuke that voice. That voice could not be from the Lord, you know, be praying, blasting in tongues, rebuking this, pleading the blood of Jesus and doing all kinds of things, getting into battle with that voice cannot be from the Lord. But it was the voice of the Lord. And Abraham knew that voice, you know, and he knew it was the voice of the Lord. And he didn't even flinch, you know, and the Lord said that. He didn't even say, my goodness, how in the world is all of this going to be? We're told later on in the, you know, in the New Testament, it reveals that Abraham knew in his heart that if God told him to do that, God was able to even raise him up, if that's the case, you know. But at this time, we see that, well, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, you know, the servants, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and they rose up and went to the place of which God had told him, you know. And, you know the rest of the story. So, God put that promise to the test. And there are times when God will do exactly that. Now, every promise that God gives you, the devil will fight it. You know, that one is not, there's no question about that. The devil will fight it every which way because he doesn't want you to inherit the promise. Your mind will fight it. Everything will fight it. Everything will come against it. Those are the contradictions against the word of promise. But occasionally, God himself might step in and test that promise. He might even ask you to bring it to the altar, like he did here. In the case of Abraham, God gave you something that will bring even greater blessing, and he said, give it back to me. Give it all back to me, said the Lord. You know, and he said, put it on the altar. And in Genesis 22, verses 9 to 12, we see that Abraham, he did actually, you know, prepare the altar. He came to the place where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid wood on it and bound Isaac, his son. Laid him. I mean, just imagine if you were Isaac. You know, I mean, Isaac, this boy grew up to obey his dad and everything. And he knew his dad loved him. And all of a sudden, I mean, the Lord, you know, and told his father something. He didn't know it. You know, he asked his father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the lamb? And the father said, don't worry about it, son. God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And so they went together. Well, Abraham wouldn't tell him what he was going to do. And the boy is wondering in his mind. I said, well, my father said God will provide a lamb. Well, so be it. But when they got there, it was a different story. God did eventually provide a lamb, but the lamb wasn't visible at first. The father actually took his son and began to buy him and say, what are you doing, Dad? What are you doing? And the boy was scared. And he, you know, can you imagine Abraham trying to do that? And he bound the boy and carried him and put him on the wood. Now he's about to, you know, put a fire on. I mean, he's going to kill the boy and then light the fire to burn him up. It's going to do exactly what the Lord told him, you know, and he took the knife after he bound the child, make sure, and he fastened him on the altar, you know, bind the sacrifice with cords on the altar. That's what they told them in the olden days. So he bound the sacrifice with cords on the altar so the boy couldn't escape, you know, and he took the knife, it's going to kill him. And after that, he's going to turn on the fire and burn it. You know, it will be the burnt offering unto the Lord. And so he took the fire, took the knife and raised it up, and he was about to strike through the heart of the boy. Just imagine those things. One time I was imagining it, and there was various things that were flashing in my mind. You know, just imagine that picture right there. You know, how scared the boy would have been, closed his eyes, waiting for that dagger to just strike through. And Abraham was about to put it through him. And the voice of the angel of the Lord called and said, Abraham! He said, yeah, man. He said, don't lay a finger on the child. Lay not your hand on the child, neither do him any harm. For now I know that thou fearest God. Shatalabo sekarina. You know, neither, you know, do anything, he said unto the child. I've seen that you fear God, because you have not withheld thy son from me, thy only son from me. And at that moment, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and lo, behold, there was a ram right there. And the Lord provided a ram for the sacrifice. And then, well, let's see what happened after that. You know, so Abraham actually did do the sacrifice, but he wasn't with his son. And when he brought the son out down from the altar and loosed the cords, there were so many questions in the mind of the boy. So, what was that? You almost killed me. You know, and on and on. And Abraham said, well, you know, the Lord told me. And you know, that young boy would have wondered, what kind of God is that? I would tell you to kill your son. A lot of things that Abraham had to explain to the boy, you know, that God is God. And if he tells us anything, we do it. And we don't question him. And then the boy would have been shaking his head and said, I don't know, you know, you know, but, you know, the Lord told Abraham the second time. He said this. Now, this, we've heard the promise. We've seen the test on the altar. Now, here comes the blessing. And the blessing, the real blessing, you know, that God will now pronounce, he said to him the second time out of heaven, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of heaven. The real blessing now comes. Nothing can stop this blessing now, because you've passed the test. There is not, heaven and earth cannot, you know, stop this blessing now, because you passed the test. You know, he said, look, I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thy enemies, their enemies, and in thy seed, hallelujah, all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that thou hast obeyed my voice. So you've seen the promise. You've seen the test through the altar. Now you see the blessing. Praise the Lord. And the Lord fulfilled his blessing. And he fulfilled his promise unto Abraham. Till this day, it is so. And Israel will possess the gates of their enemies, no matter what the devil tries to do about it. But the Lord promised it. And we see, you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, talking about these things, that by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie. You know, God wanting to guarantee this thing by an oath. He knows that, look, when you make an oath, you swear by somebody greater than yourself. That's how people make oath, you know. So God also wanting to do the same, because, you know, it was a covenant of God, but he made it with man. So to do it according to their ways, he looked for somebody greater than himself to swear by. But that's what people do. He looked everywhere, couldn't find anybody greater. He already knew. So he swore by himself. Hallelujah. And we see the blessing, you know. And there's some additional insight, you know, that God gave to us in the book of Hebrews about that blessing. You know, that surely blessing, these are immutable things. You will never, can never be changed. Hallelujah. Surely blessing, he says, you know, in verse 13 of Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, well, he looked for any greater. He couldn't find it. So he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, you know, Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Well, I think Abraham, after he had passed that test. So that's the part that we are talking about today. And what is the lesson that we learn about this great test that Abraham went to? He almost killed his child for it. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, except the promised seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Well, Abraham almost killed that child. And the Bible says he received him back in a figure from the dead, because, you know, he knew that God was able to raise him from the dead. And, you know, in a figure, in a way, he did receive him back from the dead. Praise the Lord. You know, so God knew that Abraham was a man, you know, that would obey him. But he showed it to us. He allowed him to be tested beyond the point of reason or even understanding. You know, how do you sacrifice your son? This is the one son that you've been waiting for. And so many promises tied to him. How do you go sacrifice him? Well, he passed that test. Glory to God. And the Lord gave him an incredible promise. And because the son, so to speak, died and God resurrected him, so to speak, because Abraham, as far as Abraham was concerned, he did the killing, you know, because he was going to do it. It was almost 3 seconds left. And that dagger would have struck through the heart of that boy. And so God said, you know, now that you have done that, I'm going to multiply your seed. Same thing in John 12 and 24. Except that corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it'll be alone. You know, but now that you quote unquote kill the child because you obeyed me, now it's going to bring forth multiple seeds, you know. I'm going to bring forth many, many seeds as a sons of the seed, the Lord told him. Now, here's the question. Are you willing to sacrifice your dreams? You know, even the promise. Can you bring the dream to the altar in obedience to God's voice, like Abraham did, you know, in order to put the Lord first? I mean, the Lord might give you something, and then he might tell you to bring that thing. Give it back to me. You know, are we willing to sacrifice our talents, sacrifice your career, or whatever it is that the Lord called you? I mean, does he have the right of first claim to everything in our lives? Does he? Can he claim whatever he gave you? Will you give it back to him? Well, that's where the real promise and the real blessing lies. I mean, the real blessing for the promise. That's where I lie. Everything that God has promised, you know, until you are ready to give it up. Jesus was ready to give up his life. You know, if he had hung on to it, you know, he would have been the only son of God. You know, but because he gave it up, look at all that he now has. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he showed Abraham how he would walk. And through Abraham, we understand many things. All of that drama was prophetic. You know, even how God will bring the Christ and so on later. Now, God wants to be first place in our lives. Not second place, not third place. You know, we got to be first place. And God can lay a claim. And can we pray this prayer? We'll pray this at the end too of today's lesson. We have to be in a position where we can pray this prayer and say, Lord, I surrender all. Can we truly surrender all? Sometimes we can't even surrender our time. When God lays claim on our time, we can't do it. You know, thank God for this time of consecration. Well, this is part of God laying claim to you. You know, can you sacrifice a few meals? Can you sacrifice, you know, a few pleasures? Can you do it? You know, well, sometimes we can't do it. You know, and, but Abraham, glory to God, he passed the test. Genesis 12, 22 verses 15 to 18. God put, you know, he put it right down there. He put an oath on it. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 12 to 15. Put an oath right to it. So let's take that challenge today. Let's bring it all to the altar and let's give it all back to him. And then the real blessing will follow. You know, and that was one story. The second story I want to consider is the story of Joseph. Many chapters in the Bible, Genesis chapter 37, you know, from there, almost clear on to the end of the book of Genesis, except for one chapter in between, you know, that chapter 38. If you take chapter 38 away from that, from 37 clear on through the end, it was all about Joseph and his story, you know. And, you know, let's start out in Genesis, you know, chapter 37, and begin to see all the things that God showed Joseph in a dream. In Genesis 37, he dreamed something, and he told this to his brothers. And then he dreamed again and told it to his brothers. Well, the bottom line of the dream, it looked as if, you know, Joseph would be greater than his brothers. I won't go into all the dreams because we know the story. And so the brothers hated him. Moreover, you know, when his brothers were out in the field doing stuff, they committed a lot of atrocities. And so, you know, when Joseph would go check on their brothers, he brought the evil report, you know, to them at that time. You know, he was feeding the flock with his brethren. They were there. And then they would go and commit atrocities, and Joseph would hear about it and say, "What are you guys doing?" And they would report all their evil deeds to their father, and they hated him for that. And they hated him more also for his dreams. And they hated him even more when Jacob kind of preferred Joseph and made him a coat of many colors. And he didn't do that to the rest of the brethren. So they hated him. But there was a promise. And the promise was shrouded in these dreams. You know, he dreamt, the first time he dreamt, he said, "Well, behold, we were all binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And your sheaves arose as well and stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said, they discerned the interpretation right away. He said, "Well, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou have dominion over us?" And they hated him for his dreams. Well, and then he dreamt another dream. And instead of him keeping his mouth shut, he was always blabbing up his mouth to his brethren. He said, "Well, behold, I dream another dream more. And the sun and the moon, stars and so forth, 11 stars made obeisance to me." And told his dream to his father, you know, and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you've dreamt? Shall my mother and I, your mother and I, even and your brethren, come and bow down ourselves to you, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him and hated him even more. Now, well, there was a promise shrouded in those dreams that Joseph will be above his brethren and his brethren will bow down to him. Well, who knows, you know, the end from the beginning except God. There's a lot of things that God knew that didn't tell him. You know, God didn't tell him how that, you know, the road to that promise would be very, 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 very painful. And didn't tell him that part. You know, so in his mind, you know, he's thinking, "Well, you know, I'm going to be greater than these people." But there is a test that came to that promise. We read it in Psalm 105, verse 19. The word of the Lord tried him. First, it was his brothers that conspired against him. One day when his father would send him to go look after, check on his brothers, and they saw him coming from afar and say, "Ah, here comes this dreamer of dreams. You know, let's kill him and we'll see what will become of his dreams." See? So there is always this contradiction from the devil. Now, this one's coming straight from the enemy, you know, to try to kill him and make sure that those dreams don't come to pass, because it's in the mind of the brothers. And this man said he will be bigger than the rest of us. You know, and we're going to bow down to him. That's not going to happen. If we kill him, well, then we'll make sure that that dream doesn't come to pass, or those dreams. And so, but, you know, all the would-be destroyers in his family are against him. You know, God raised up one destiny helper among them who said, "Well, I mean, let's not kill him. Let's just cast him into this pit over here. I mean, let's not have blood in our hands. He is our brother after all. You just put him in this speed, because in his mind, he actually wanted to come back and, you know, pull him out of that prison. I mean, out of that pit, you know. But while he was gone, well, they saw a band of Ishmaelites come in. And they said, well, why let him rot here? Just sell him into, you know, this place. Carry him away to slavery, you know, Fireland. He's just as good as dead. And we'll tell his dad that he was killed. So they plotted, killed, you know, one of the rams or goats or something, dipped his coat in blood. And they will give that to the father and say, we found this. In the meantime, they sold him to slavery and he went. And you know the rest of the story. You know, and every part of his life, that word was tested. The word that he will be above his brothers was tested. I mean, at that point in time, when he was in the pit, a devil could have spoken to him and said, your brothers will rule over you, huh? We'll see about that. You are going to rot away in this pit. Well, even when they pulled him out of the pit, sold him, carrying him onto slavery, the devil would be speaking to him. You know, you're going to be ruler over your brothers, huh? We'll see. You're going to a land you don't even know where you're going. You know, you don't know where you're going. You're going to be, you're a slave. They already sold you. You know, and when he got there, you know, all kinds of things happening to him. Of course, the favor of the Lord was with him. Even though bad things were happening, God was still favoring him. And more bad things are happening to him. You know the story of how, you know, Potiphar's wife, you know, framed him for a crime he didn't commit. And she tried to seduce him and he wouldn't give in. And they ended up throwing him in prison. On and on and on and on. You know. But all of those things, God was setting him up, moving him closer to the promise. But he was being tested. The whole time that he was in prison, can you imagine what the devil would have been telling him? You're going to rot in this prison. And even after he interpreted the dreams to the baker and the butler, you know, and the butler was restored, he said, remember me and speak kindly of me to the king, because I'm here for a crime that I did not commit. The man did not remember him at all for another 2 years. And the devil would tell him, you are going to rot here. Nobody is going to help you. You know, the word of the Lord tried him. Are you going to stay with the promise even when all hell seems to be breaking loose and going contrary to what the promise said? You know, if you are going to be the king, you're going to be above your brethren and you are rotting away in prison and rotting away in a foreign land, which you may never see your brethren again. How in the world is that going to come to pass? You know, and there was a lot of time for him to think about it, a lot of time for him to doubt that promise, a lot of time for him to say, well, I don't know if this is thing is going to be. The word of the Lord tried him. You know, but I believe that in his heart, he stood right there with it. You know, and God found a way at the end, of course. You know, it all came to pass, just like God said. But as we see, you know, we didn't know. When we were reading Genesis, we didn't know that it was the Lord trying him until we read Psalms. When we read Psalm 105, which I read at the beginning of today, then we saw that it was actually the word of the Lord. I tried him. You know, see, wow, you know, see how you would behave. Even in the face of seduction, he stood his ground and he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't cave in. And everything that happened to you, he wouldn't cave in. But one day, ladies and gentlemen, in one moment, everything changed. Glory to God. You know, in one day, one moment, he was pulled from the slammer, from prison, from the dungeon, and stood before Pharaoh. And after he gave not only the interpretation, but the word of counsel, that gift promoted him. And Pharaoh made the pronunciation and said, who can find a man so wise as he in whom is the spirit of the gods? You are Joseph and I am Pharaoh. And without you shall no man lift a finger in this Egypt. And the Pharaoh was king of the world almost at the time. He said, let everybody bow the knee to Joseph. And he put his robe, ring, chariot, everything. Cleaned him up and proclaimed him as ruler over the land. In the throne only will I be greater than you, but you are the man. And even Potiphar and his wife had to bow the knee to Joseph. Praise the Lord. You should have seen the look on their faces. And then finally, as the story went, you know, his brother actually did eventually come and bow to him. But the word of the Lord tried him. Now, the lesson today, not to make it too long, is that the promise, when it's given, may be tested by God himself. But I guarantee you, there's no maybe from the camp of the devil. That devil will come against that promise. Contradictions of all kinds. I say, you can't do that. Who ever heard of such a thing? I mean, that can't happen. And this and this and this. That's the contradictions from the devil. And from your mind. And from people around you. And from situations. And looking at the wind. And looking at the clouds. And so forth. Say, it can't be so. You know. And all that. So. But. Beyond that. God himself. Might try that promise. He might tell you to bring it to the altar. Now that's the ultimate test. When God tells you to bring that promise that he himself gave you, telling you to bring it to the altar and kill it. Can you do it? Yeah, that's the question. You know, let me prove this out here. This is a punchline that you can run with today. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, in the book of James, and you know, you read this, we've read it together, you know, when we did the book of James. We've read it and everybody knows it. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from above. James 1:17. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good gift, even the gifts that God himself can give you to promote you, to elevate you. I mean, all the promises that God can give you, everything that God can give you. I mean, it all comes from God if it's good. Every good gift comes from God. But even those things that God himself can give us, and even those things that God himself gives us, cannot replace God. Hallelujah. That's the punchline for today. God can test the thing that he gave you and tell you to bring it all back to him. The very things that God has given us. Sometimes God will give us promotion. Sometimes he will give us exaltation, advancement, you know, in our careers and blessings, all kinds of things. He will even give us abundance, increase, you know, running over and all these things. None of those things can replace God himself. And the moment that thing becomes uppermost in your heart, you're going to have to bring it back to the altar. I mean, there is a good chance that this boy became something uppermost in Abraham's heart, because you know, the Lord said, your only son. Well, he wasn't his only son. But in Abraham's mind at that time, whom thou lovest. Well, maybe he was beginning to love the son more than God. You know, cherishing the boy, protecting him. Because look, this is the core of the blessing. Protecting that boy, loving that boy and everything. God said, is that a fact? You're going to have to bring that thing to the altar. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because God will be number one or not. Any number at all. God will not be second place. He will not be third place. He will be one in your life or not, nothing. First place or no place at all. That's God. Hallelujah. That's why you must love the Lord thy God with all your heart, not some of your heart, and the other heart reserved to loving your son above him. We cannot prefer anything above the Lord. You cannot prefer your job above the Lord. Can't do it, you know. And many of us are faced with situations all the time. Look, and I don't say this lightly, because I know people have to do these things, people have to work, people have to do this and that and so on. It is what we are dealing with. This is part of the let there be more burden laid in upon them. It's part of the thing, you know. You got to deal all these things. The devil knows what he's doing, you know, but the Lord will wait and see, are you willing to sacrifice it for the Lord? We heard the story of a sister on this platform one time. You know, they challenged her because she would, you know, talk about the Lord and her job and so forth. And they said, you know, well, you choose. You're either going to do this or that. And she chose the Lord. And, you know, she gave up that job. And for 3 months or more, she was jobless. But she was happy. She did it for the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, can you do it for the Lord? Can you give up the thing that is dearest to you, like Abraham, his son, whom he loved, cherished, you know? Well, can you do it? And the Lord may ask you to do that very thing. Your career, your dreams, and all these things. Jesus said, except you fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. And sometimes it has to die on that altar. Not the devil killing it now. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, we already dealt with that yesterday. The devil is not going to take that which is yours. We dealt with that one yesterday. And I'm not talking about the devil today. I'm talking about God can put a claim on anything. Hallelujah. And if he puts a claim on it, it's called the test. And it's called the altar. And if you don't pass the test, you may not see the real blessing afterwards. It was until Abraham passed the test. Then is when he got the real blessing. I've sworn by my right hand. Ha! Swear by myself. Surely blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. It was when Joseph also passed the test. That he come out of that grave. Come out of that prison. And was promoted over the land. And God brought his brothers. Bow down before him. Fulfill that promise. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, as we end this year, we're believing God for tremendous promises. And the Lord's already given me a word that I will release by the grace of God at the start of the new year. And you'll see how tremendous things God has in store for us. Not exactly for the world, but for us. And but, you know, can you bring it to the altar? That's the key thing. Remember, we cannot carry anything away from this world. In fact, the only way to carry anything away from this world is to give it up to the Lord. Jesus said it himself. Anyone that will save his life will lose it. But if you give it away for my own sake, then you will get it back. You know, Jesus said it. It's a principle of the kingdom. The thing that you hold on to there, so there, that it, you know, actually becomes a distraction and prevents you from loving the Lord, that God with all your heart, well, you're going to lose that thing eventually. Or cause you to lose. He said, Jesus said, look, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his whole soul? I mean, why? You know? And sometimes we're striving to gain the whole world. We're trying to gain advancement, promotion. We're trying to gain, you know, we're an entrepreneur. You know, you're trying to expand your business. You work for someone. You're trying to make promotion. You're a student. You're trying to pass your exams. All these things are good. And we must do all these things. You know, because, you know, this is the world we live in. But the moment we allow those things to take first place in our life until that God is now relegated to second place or no place, we need to bring that thing back to the altar. And God may test it. So bring it back to me. And if you can't do it, then you won't see the real blessing. But if you can do it, that's when the real blessing comes. So ladies and gentlemen, that's the lesson today, and we're going to pray now. There's a couple of prayer points, if you were listening carefully, that come out of this already. You know, we're going to pray for the grace. You know, if the Lord were to choose, you know, to put us in the place of this kind of test, it's not all the time that he does it, but he may do it, and he has the right to do it. You know, because we are bought with a price. We are not our own. And he can put a claim on anything he wants at any part of our lives. But can we say yes? You know, so we're going to pray for the grace to be able to say yes. I mean, we made a list 2 weeks ago, a long list in some cases. I made a long list, and some of you did. A brother told us that he wrote down 3 pages before I even said that thing. You know, so, you know, we all have a list. We have this long list sometimes. Well, you know, God may pick any one of those things to test it. You know, and it may be your choicest thing there that you want the Lord to do for you. He may test it. He may say, bring it to the altar. Your altar will be different from the next person's altar, ladies and gentlemen. It's not one plan fits all, one, you know, size fits all. What God may have you do be different. Take a look at your fingerprint. It's different from the next guy's. Even twins, their fingerprints are different. That's how it is with the Lord. You know, the coded in that finger, in those fingerprints are the God's plan for your life. Nobody can decode it except the Holy Spirit. Palm readers can't do it. They try to, but they can't do it. You know, and God knows what it is. And when he makes a claim and tells you, bring it to the altar, are we going to be ready to do that? And that's a blessing that God has promised, but he may choose to test it. The word of the Lord, Psalm 18, verse 30. The word of the Lord is tried. God can allow that word to be tried in your life. The promise of emerge can be tried. And it has been tried in the lives of some of us. You know, and may the Lord grant us the grace to go through. Sometimes that test may be so strong. But remember, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, and the Lord is faithful. You know, he is faithful. He will not let any tempting or any trying, anything, temptation or testing, some words are translated differently, but he will not allow any test, you know, to come unto you that's greater than what you can bear, you know, and so on. So if the Lord are putting you through a test, he will also give you the grace. See, here's the deal with the Lord. The Lord can, you know, engage you in a wrestling match, or you can engage the Lord, you know. And this is the beautiful thing. The Lord wants you to wrestle and he wants you to win. The devil never wants you to win. The Lord will test you, but he wants you to pass. The devil will tempt you, but he wants you to fail. See, so this is the difference with God. Even when he tests you, he wants you to pass the test. And he will give you the grace to pass that test, but he will test you, you know. And so, you know, that's our lesson today. First prayer point today is we're going to pray, Lord, the blessing that I'm believing from you, and the blessing will come because the Lord promised it. But when the test comes, give me the grace, Lord, to pass that test, now, whatever that test may be, that I may get the real blessing. So there is the promise, there is the test or the altar, then there is the blessing afterward, if we pass. That's why the scripture always says, well, you know, after that you have struggled for a while, after that you have suffered for a while, then you will inherit the promise. Abraham also, after he suffered, inherited the promise. And the scripture says many things like that throughout the scriptures. We've talked about that from time to time. 1 Peter 5:10, it will say, you know, after that you have, you know, been suffered for a while and so forth. You know, God of all grace, who have called you unto his eternal glory, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you, and give you that promise. But first, you have to suffer. Why doesn't God just give it to me right away? I got to go through this, you know, first. Well, because he's testing the word of the Lord, you know. So he says, after that you have suffered a while, not before, you know. So we may go through. God may call for the test. And I tell you by the word of wisdom today that the Lord is calling, and sometimes he'll call and sometimes he has called for some of that testing and the altar in some of our lives. You know, and now we're going to pray that the Lord will give us the grace, you know, to endure. Blessed is the man that endureth testings, you know. James called it temptation, but I call it testings. You know, and because he will receive a crown of life. Hallelujah. James 1 and 12. You will receive a crown of life with God has promised to them that love him. Praise God. Now, I'm going to pray over the room and then I'm going to let us pray individually and then collectively. Father, I thank you, Lord, for there are many great and exceeding precious promises in this world that you have given us. Even the promise of eternal life. Glory to God. That you have given us through Christ Jesus. But now we see even the promise of emerging to sons of God. You know, even though now we see that we're already sons of God, it doesn't quite yet appear well, we shall be. But the promise is there, and we know we're coming to it. But we must be tested. We must be proven. For God will test every son that he receives. Lord, the promises and any individual promises that you have given us in our lives, that we are holding on to, believing you, that we have written down, that we're claiming, you know, perhaps there will be contradictions from the enemy. We know that for sure. But there may be also a test from the Lord to bring it to the altar. Give us the grace, Lord, to endure and to pass the test. Pass it with flying colors, as they say. Abraham did. And then there came the blessing. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus to give us understanding concerning these things, even on today, in Jesus' name. I pray for strength. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, my strength is made manifest. Lord, in our weakness, sometimes, you know, our mind is weak. When we see the winds boisterous, we begin to doubt, you know, and we begin to sink. Thank God that Peter had the sense to reach out and call out, Lord, save me. The Lord reached out and grabbed him. I pray, Lord, that the boisterous winds that are around us all the time, that our attention will be directed to the Christ and not to those winds in the name of the Lord Jesus. There may be winds. There may be different things that will come against us, you know, but the Lord will give us the grace. We must not look at those winds. Otherwise, we'll do nothing. You know, sometimes the tests will come in form of winds and clouds and different things to come against us. But the Lord said that he will be with us and he will strengthen us. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not reap, shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So Lord, the winds are there, the clouds are there, but we will not be discouraged. We will not be dismayed. The Lord said, be not dismayed. I am the Lord. I am with you. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For the Lord God will help me. Hallelujah. Isaiah declares. And I declare also today over the room that the Lord God will help us to pass the test. Glory to God. We will pass the test. If the Lord demands of us to bring it to the altar, he will give us also the grace to pass the test. We will bring it to the altar. We will pass the test. We will not be confounded. And we will set our face like a flint. We will not even flinch. Hallelujah. And we will not be ashamed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now the grace of God Almighty be with everyone that's in this room. The God of all grace himself grant you that after you have suffered and struggled through some things for a while, as in the test, that the Lord will establish you, and settle you, and give you that promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.